What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. When I tell y'all everything happened the week I took off for the podcast, I know y'all probably was thinking it too. If you listen to Black News every week, the week that I did not record a podcast, the world blew up. I won't even say the world. Black News blew up. I take a week off for the holidays. I buy my Thanksgiving food in preparation for the festivities. And back to back to back to back, from the moment I recorded that last podcast, through the week that I was editing it, posted it, the week I had off, y'all, I'm talking about complete insanity, okay? Insanity. I'm over here on, chilling on my couch, looking at the news like, this got to be a record. This November has got to be a record of the craziest news cycle we've had in a long time. Now, for the sake of this week's podcast, some of this stuff that I'm going to talk about, we have already hashed it out. And by we, I'm not talking about on this podcast, I mean as a people, okay? We've already beat some of this into the ground, this information. So I'm going to touch upon some things, highlight it for the sake of being in the know, being in the number, okay? We're going to be in the number. Then we're going to move on next week with hopefully some new and more current stories and happenings in the Black news sphere. Okay. So to start, this ain't old. This is just recently happening. And this is just because we're in the spirit and looking forward to this upcoming weekend. Beyoncé's movie, the Renaissance concert movie, will be in theaters this weekend. Your girl gonna be there. Okay. I originally had plans to go see it, but it was too late at night. The day that I planned, yeah, hey, it's a 2.5 hour movie. I can't be up late. Okay. I'll be in the bed. So I'm going to buy tickets for an early show, maybe early Saturday, maybe early Sunday, and go see my girl do her thing on the big screen. Okay. I'm going to buy my ticket and support. The premiere was this past week. All of the people that we love were there to support. And it just looked like a good old time. And the reviews seemed to be pretty good. And not just reviews from people who are fans, right? Reviews from people who are just genuine movie critics. So it's very exciting. Happy about that. Excited. Are y'all going to be going to see the Renaissance concert film directed, I believe Beyonce is directing this as well. Are y'all gonna go, y'all gonna be in the building or not? Okay. Are you gonna be in the building or not? Let me know. And if so, hit me up after the fact and let me know your thoughts, because we're gonna be talking about it a little later on the podcast on future episodes. So y'all know where to find me, at Kenelia, in regards to that particular event and that particular topic. Another thing that happened, Andre 3000 dropped the Flute album and people were upset. Y'all, people, I never would have thought that Andre 3000, one, would drop a Flute album, and two, people would have been in their feelings about it. Who would have thought? Not me. Okay, hey, not me. But Andre 3000, one of the members of the legendary hip hop duo Outkast, one of the best rappers alive and have ever existed, Andre Benjamin, aka Andre 3000, Three Stacks, has not rapped or ever. Let me say this: he has never had a solo album. The last album that Andre 3000 was a part of was Idlewild, which I believe came out maybe 15 some years ago. It's been a long time, probably longer. I think it was longer. He has done features on different songs. You know, if you get Andre 3000 feature, that's going to take your song to the next level. It don't matter what the beat is. It could be, he can be rapping over a damn garbage truck sound. It's going to go triple platinum in the streets. Okay. But Andre 3000 has never dropped a solo album. And for years, people have been confused, wondering why, because he's just a great artist, right? Creative bars, you name it. Andre 3000 is it. But over the years, people have been seeing Andre 3000 out and about with a flute, like one of them wooden flutes. And at one point it became a thing, like, oh shoot, I saw Andre 3000. Like, it was like a badge of honor if you saw him out playing the flute or just in the street somewhere. Come to find out, he has been learning how to play different types of wood instruments over the years. And to the point where he made an entire album of him playing the flute and dropped it this past week. So, a few things. One, I love when people are allowed to be creative in ways that they want to be creative. I really admire, because for people who don't operate in a space of creativity and production in that way for a living, people sometimes think or assume that it's easy to do that thing that you do. Just rap. Just sing. Just dance. Like, just play the instrument. Just do comedy. Just do it. Yeah. When in actuality, creativity changes as people change and evolve. Sometimes the way that you want to or are able to express yourself isn't the way that you want to or are able to express yourself 20, 30, 40 years later or down the line. People change and grow. Sometimes you just don't want to do that no more, or you just don't have it in you. It doesn't come out. Creativity comes and it goes, but sometimes when you is sparked, it's going to spark in a totally different way than you expected or that people want. And we see that in this situation with Andre 3000. So I admire when people have the opportunity in the space to do what they want to do in their creativity and don't feel pressure or any weight attached to it. Meaning, don't feel like they got to do something for the money or for the status or just because they've been doing it. Andre 3000, he don't got to do shit, okay? But he wanted to put this flute album out, and he did. Now, I listened to the flute album because one thing I'm already going to do is, and I already got my Headspace app going with my soundscapes, okay? I already listened to my meditation music, okay? I'm already tapped in for the meditation. I looked at my Headspace app, and I've had it for 2 years. I'm over like 11,000 hours of meditation, sound, music, soundscapes, all of that, study beats. I'm over 11,000 hours, honey. Okay. So you already knew. When I heard it's going to be a flute album, I'm locked in. And when I listened, like many people, I immediately said, oh, this going to do numbers when you talk about meditation spaces, people who are with spas, different like study outlets, that type of vibe. It's perfect for it. You put that thing on, even if you want to go to sleep on it. I'm not saying it's a sleepy album. Like, you know, you listen to some rap albums, you'd be like, that it was boring. Snooze, magoos. No, this is a meditation-esque album that can be used in any of those relaxing or focused mediums. So for me, I had me a good old time and listened to it. I actually have played it many of times since it has been out, studying, working, writing, or just in the background when I'm like kikiing around the house, cleaning up and doing things. So I respect it and I get it. Now, some people was upset. Some people were, you know, in the place of, we've been waiting for him to put something out for years and this is what he does. He is giving up on his talent. What about the fans and all of this stuff? And I just implore people to, again, put yourself in the perspective of, sometimes people change. Sometimes you work at your day job and you had your same career for years and you don't want to do that shit no more. So what you don't do it. Pivot. There are people who I know who have been and went to medical school for years, worked their butts off to become doctors. And once they're a doctor, they don't want to do it no more. They have to because they invested so much time and energy, but they literally have no interest and no passion behind it. Luckily for some creatives who get to a certain point in their life, they're able to be in that same or similar situation and say, you know what, this ain't for me. Let me go play this wood instrument. Okay. Let me go in a back alley somewhere in East New York or East LA and get the tootooing with the flute. I love it. Did y'all listen to the flute album by Andre 3000? And what did you guys think? The song titles are actually really interesting and fun too. So just check it out whenever you have a chance. I recommend it. Even if you, it ain't your vibe, you need to listen to it because it is Andre 3000 and we're going to support that brother. Let me know your thoughts about it though. You can find me at Kenelia on social media. Allegedly. Okay. Allegedly. Hey. Allegedly. Allegedly. Like I'm going to say this. These next points. Heavy on the allegedly. Because I am just reporting what has been talked about in the news cycle. Y'all ain't about to get me. Okay. Allegedly. Okay. Allegedly. Last week. And it got swept under the news cycle, which I am not mad at. Okay. I am not mad that this got swept under the rug and immediately got up out here. There was an interview done by a man talking to Tasha K. Tasha K was the woman who got sued by Cardi B for also talking about Cardi B. Think that Cardi got it for a couple million dollars. Tasha K was interviewing a man associated or said he was friends with Will Smith. The man went on to say that he allegedly caught Will Smith and Dwayne Martin having relations in a trailer on set of some production. Immediately, the streets took off and ran with it. Okay. In different directions. One, people had a lot to say about the fact that the man was his so-called friend, Will's friend. And how could you, if you really somebody's friend, why would you get on and do an interview and say those types of things? Then some people were blaming and mad at Tasha K saying, haven't you learned? Okay, Cardi got you. Why are we back to doing this? At this point, you need to be doing home decor videos. People were, you know, it was coming at all sides. And coincidentally, Jada Pinkett Smith. Oh, y'all, no, that's my girl. You know, that's my girl. I fools with me some Jada Pinkett Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith did her Breakfast Club interview that the next day or the same day that the news broke. And I also advise you guys to watch that interview. I know a lot of people feel certain ways about Jada Pinkett Smith and her book, even though most people who have been talking about her and are the loudest one about all of the commentary and in any of the news or social media clips have not actually read the book. Because the outcry and the narrative is completely opposite of what she actually wrote in the book. And it actually exposes people. If you really want to know what they're talking about and who out here looking crazy, listen to them talk about Jada Pinkett Smith, because I'm willing to bet they have not read the book and it shows. But Jada Pinkett Smith went on the Breakfast Club and they were asking her, Charlamagne the God and DJ Envy, about that specific incident and what was going on. And she basically said that the person in question who did the interview was at one point associated with Will Smith. I don't remember if she said in the capacity of friendship or business partner, but that person was acting like or presented themselves as if they had played a particular part in the writing and in the production of Will's book titled Will, and try to essentially shake down the family for a sum of money because of their claims that they were a part of the book and in a bigger capacity than they may actually have been. I think she also said that that person was offered money, but they did not take it, or something of that extent. But she said, essentially, it was a shakedown and they're taking legal action. That person was saying those things in response to them not being able to get the type of money that they wanted. Let me also say this. Jada Pinkett Smith addressed every rumor about her and her family in her book, Worthy. She addressed those rumors, swingers, gay relationship, all of that. She talked about each and every one of those rumors. And so it was actually interesting to see or hear right after me listening to the audiobook and then seeing that news drop and then seeing the Jada Pinkett Smith interview. It was nice to see the domino and how people handle certain situations. And in this case, and me also feeling like I got a little extra level of knowledge because I did the reading. Okay. But my favorite point on all of this, TMZ caught up with Jada Pinkett Smith coming out of the Breakfast Club. And Jada Pinkett Smith had one of my favorite clips for 2023. And I hope we be using this We Suing audio moving forward. So this was the quick interview or the quick catch up with Jada Pinkett Smith outside of the Breakfast Club building.
You look fantastic.
Okay, all she was missing was that red leather outfit with the red leather baseball cap and the red leather bustier and pants. We suing. Hey, whether you believe the allegations or not, the Smith family has basically set their stance and they're moving forward with it. But simultaneously, this particular piece of news got swept under the rug because immediately following, within the next few days, news broke that Cassie was filing a civil claim against her former boss and what we thought was her boyfriend at the time, Sean P. Diddy Combs. But let me know what y'all thought about the alleged information about Will Smith. Hit me up on social media with your thoughts. As mentioned, one thing that I know I personally did not expect to see was the fact that Cassie was bringing or filing a civil lawsuit in the state of New York against Sean P. Diddy Combs. I was not, it's just something, you know, certain things you feel like, oh yeah, I was thinking that. I think this one came out of the air and landed on all of our laps, surprisingly, because, you know, it was Thanksgiving week. It was just a lot going on and the news smacked everybody in the face. Now, for the sake of not being redundant, I feel like I don't even need to go into all of the super uber details about what happened. The case was settled. The civil case was settled for an undisclosed amount. That $30 million number came out of nowhere, and it gives an example how people just take information and run with it, regardless of if it's accurate or not. Don't do no research, because that number was not a verified number by the Cassie Ventura camp. So for the sake of this conversation, there were some red flags with the consumers of all of this information that really bothered me and that I want to highlight and kind of talk through, because as we get deeper into the internet and social media and have more access to gadget and fast information, I feel like we are literally getting more and more and more behind the curve when it comes to how we process information, critical thinking skills, common sense, and research abilities. We are getting further and further behind. And I really want to point some things out and highlight some things just for the sake of conversing about what got on my nerves. So first, the Adult Survivors Act, which is what the suit was filed under, is a New York law that gave victims of sexual abuse who were 18 years or older at the time of the alleged abuse a one-year window to bring cases in New York after any statute of limitations have expired. What that means is when people in New York State, regardless of when they were sexually assaulted, when the statute of limitations expired on being able to file or to make a claim against them to possibly get criminal charges brought up against them, that when that went away, the governor of New York created this particular act that gave people a one-year window to file a civil claim against people who have done them wrong, allegedly, I'm saying allegedly, in regards to sexual abuse. She gave them 1 year to file a claim. That's why recently you had this influx of people being having civil cases brought against them. And it seemed like it kind of came out of nowhere. That's because in New York, they got a 1 year window for everybody to file the claim. The year window was up on November 24th, which was my birthday, which is this past Friday. They had until that day, which is why in the 25th hour, we saw a bunch of cases or a bunch of civil claims just being filed. Because it basically said, I know you can't, the statute of limitations on the abuse is up for criminal charges, but we're going to give you an opportunity to file a civil claim. Now with that, it seemed like people don't really realize civil versus criminal, because a lot of conversation has been having about people saying, well, why didn't they take them to court and try to get them locked up? Why is it a civil case? Why didn't they try to get them put in jail? Victims don't decide who's tried in court. If somebody physically attacked me, I cannot go to the police station and say, we're going to court on Friday for a criminal case because he hit me. I can file a civil claim and dictate if I take that person to court and hold them accountable monetarily. But the state, the people versus, those are the people who dictate which cases go to trial. Remember when Megan Thee Stallion took Tory Lanez, when people thought she took Tory Lanez to trial? Megan didn't do that. The people versus Tory Lanez. Do we understand? So I need people to get out of the mindset of questioning people about why certain things were and were not prosecuted against others. If someone is attacked, they do not dictate if that person gets put on trial for said attack. The man does. Okay, we got that. But again, in civil cases, you have more control. And civil cases are always about money. We'll get to that in a minute. Next, let's stop policing people and victims on when they should tell about harm that was done to them. We have access to so much information and so many stories. We've heard from so many victims, men and women, about reasons why it took them so long. They fear for their life. They were scared of being ridiculed, people not being believed. They just, you know, it was too much trauma to relive the situation. We literally have been hearing these stories since our grandparents started telling us stories about what they've been through. So it really baffles me that at this point, we still have people questioning why it took people a certain amount of time to tell on people who have harmed them. I saw something that was really caught my eye on social media, and it's kind of funny, but it ain't. They said, y'all don't even want to tell HR when y'all manager be cutting up at work. You really think it's easy to tell on someone who has the power to ruin your career, your life? You don't even want to go to HR on the manager down at the warehouse. You don't want to tell on the shift manager at Rouse because you're afraid of the retaliation that you're going to endure from the shift manager at the Rouse. But you questioning how long it takes somebody to tell on somebody who could really literally ruin their life? Like, come on. Stop. Hey, man, stop this. Back to the civil suits. Civil suits are always about money. People be surprised when there's settlements. Shocked, like, what was it about? Oh, what was it about money? Civil suits are always about money. And it's really interesting how some people are fine with the conversation about reparations when it comes to slavery and the descendants of Black people. We should be receive reparations for the harm that we've done over the many years for Jim Crow and for the happenings of Reconstruction and the redlining and the school to prison pipeline and veterans not being able to get a part of the GI Bill because they were Black. All of these things. We want reparations and are fine with reparations for all of these things. Except when people are asking for reparations for sexual assault and violence. Why do y'all think that is? I know why it is, but I want to take a quick beat to say, ask, why do you think that is? Why are some people so pro reparations when it comes to Black people and the things that we've endured in this country, but not in agreement with financial compensation for people who have survived some form of sexual violence or assault? That specifically points to what I think the reasoning is. I think some men don't understand women not reporting rape or sexual assault and sexual violence because they think sexual assault is just sex. Some people don't understand you not being able to talk about it and not being able to tell someone because it's sex. You can't tell somebody that somebody had sex with you. Some people don't equate sexual assault and sexual violence. And I said some, they don't equate that with something that is harmful or bad. For it could be different reasons, right? Some people have those really violent fetishes when it comes to sex, and have, you know, and porn has distorted some people's opinions and views about it. It's some people who out here got these fantasies about, you know, being a little rough with sex. So some people could see those types of images when they think or hear the idea of rape. They don't see it as something extremely violating or violent. They don't see that. They just think maybe it's a little rough sex. So it's no big deal to report it. It's sex. I also think people don't, and some men get it, but I think some men don't put it into perspective as if it could be them. So one scenario that I like to give, some men that I know who have a hard time understanding when they talk about how long it takes for someone to tell, I usually turn it back and say something to the extent, and I say it in a little more, I'll sugarcoat it when I'm saying it. I'm a sugarcoated for Black news to get the point across, but I don't in real life usually because I needed to hit home. I need you to nail it in. I usually asked if somebody took advantage of you in a particular area of your body that you not used to having anyone around. And again, I'm just sugarcoating this for the podcast. Y'all get what I'm saying? If somebody took advantage of you in a part of your body that you're not used to people being around, how long would it take for you to tell me? Maybe a week? Would you tell me immediately? A week. Would it take you a week to tell me that somebody did that to you? Oh, I can get a benefit out. Maybe a month. It take you a month? I'm willing to bet that you would never tell me, you would never tell your family, you would never tell your friends, you would never tell police or anyone who could help that somebody did that to you. You would take it to the grave. I'm willing to bet you would not tell us. So why can you not understand when someone else is unwilling or unable to share their story? Y'all get what I'm saying? I think we need to, in those cases where people are having this lack of understanding, put it in perspective of their own personal life. If somebody did that to you, how long would you tell me immediately? Would you tell me, right away? You'll call me right away. Oh, okay. But all that to say, I feel like some people don't necessarily want to be educated. Maybe some people do want to, they just don't know where to find the information. But all in all, it just became very disheartening to see and be on social media this past week and just seeing and reading some of the stuff people would just say. Some, like, we got to do better. Some things are just common sense, but I feel like we are taking a step further and further back and learning and just knowledge. And I don't like it. I get on here every week and I be ranting, but I don't like it. And I just can't. So let me know your thoughts about those particular points. Have you seen some of the same things, saw some of the same concerns or the same questions? You know, where do we go? Where do we go from here? Right. Do we just let people live in a place of ignorance, or do we continue to educate people and frustrate ourselves? Hit me up. Let me know your thoughts about this. You can find me at Kenelia on social media. On this week's episode of Black Newsed, we talked about how I'm looking forward to the Renaissance concert movie that will be in theaters this coming weekend. We discussed Andre 3000 dropping his flute album and how it's been a heavy rotation over here in the Kenelia household. Study vibes on 3000. We also quickly discussed Jada Pinkett Smith shutting down rumors in regards to Will Smith and Dwayne Martin. And also some of the things that I've seen on social media that were a direct reaction to Cassie receiving a settlement in regards to the claim against her former boss. Let me know what you guys thought about all of these topics, some or none, and I'll check back in with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Kenelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is Kenelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.